You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Donald Trump's victory is seen as one of the watershed moments in American political history, and Michigan voters played a role in this upset. Let's dive into what happened as we say hello to our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. What gave Michigan to a Republican and to Donald Trump?
That's the question, Cindy, that I think everyone is trying to figure out right now. What we're looking at is high turnout in counties that we weren't quite predicting, and those are rural white counties. And what we saw was in places like Wayne County, which went huge for President Obama in 08 and 12, simply didn't turn out for Hillary Clinton to make up for those votes for Trump throughout the rest of the state.
Which, Rick, I guess that completely fits into why we saw Bill Clinton making those trips to churches in Detroit and in Flint. And so that fit. There was a sense
among try to drive up that turnout. And, you know, we saw the results, not just in Donald Trump winning Michigan, but also Republicans retaining control of the State House of Representatives by the exact same margin that they have right now, which was wholly unexpected. But I think to look at it, you've got to dive all the way down to the bottom of the ballot. But let's start at the top. I am calling this a near sweep of minuscule proportions.
How so?
Trump won the state of Michigan.
Have you copyrighted that yet?
Not yet, but I'm running to the patent office. Trump won the state by 0.27%, a fraction of a percentage point. We have not had a race that close in Michigan since the 1940s when Wendell Willkie faced FDR. Now go all the way to the bottom of the ballot, to the State Board of Education, to the governing boards of Wayne State University, U of M, and MSU, which is our standard measure of baseline core party support. And we saw Republicans and Democrats in those races splitting those seats by vote totals, also separated by fractions of a percentage point. Very often, one Republican, one Democrat. Now we have to be careful because I think that sometimes we are a little too glib about splitting the public firmly into the R or the D columns, the Republicans or the Democrats. But what this says is, in Michigan at least, what we don't have is a consensus on governing, which means that both parties need to figure out how they're going to, you know, to capture a center-right or a center-left coalition if we are going to have stable governance in this state.
Absolutely. But some of this goes, I think, to just turnout and excitement. I mean, I want to cite this number. And again, these are unofficial. 425,000 fewer votes for Clinton than Obama in 2012. Half a million fewer votes than Obama. And then overall turnout, 215,000 votes. So absolutely, Rick, I mean, what you're talking about is an idea of, you know, splits between Republicans and Democrats. And these numbers that show me right now are, as for all of the get out the vote efforts and the excitement about presidential elections. And Rick and I will continually say that Michigan is a Democratic state. The fact is, Democrats don't turn out. That is what happened again here. That turnout was not what folks are used to in presidential elections in Michigan.
And I think one of the big questions here that both parties are going to have to confront, and you know, all kinds of different people vote for all kinds of different reasons, but I'm wondering, writ large, are we seeing a public that voted its aspirations, or did we see a public that voted its fears? Because the political class in Lansing and in Washington is going to have to respond in different ways depending on what motivated voters in this cycle.
Oh, absolutely. And this goes to the dynamic of Donald Trump overall talking about the nation, that we have economic worries and that, you know, make America great again, this idea that the economy isn't nearly where it should be. But of course, Republicans in Michigan running on the fact that Republicans have been in charge in all of chambers of government.
And we're the comeback state.
And that we're the comeback state, and Republicans have fixed things. And all along, we've had these two differing narratives, and yet voters basically said, we're okay with that conflict, and we want to keep going forward.
When I think of the surprise factor of, wow, many didn't see this coming, what does this upset tell us about the things that we thought we knew?
Well, really, Cindy, I mean, I think really we should have been unsurprised surprised that there were continuing surprises in 2016. Mm-hmm. It feels like every time we were surprised, right, in March when Bernie Sanders won the Michigan Democratic primary, when Donald Trump showed nationally he was doing so well when folks, you know, a year ago were writing him off. I think probably what we should have reminded ourselves was, you know what, this has been 16, 18, 24 months of surprises. And so the fact that a shot came on election night, I guess, isn't so shocking after all.
I want to talk about some of the congressional races because we have some new faces.
We do. So the numbers have remained the same, right? So Michigan continuing to send 9 Republicans to D.C., 5 Democrats in terms of the congressional delegation, but some new faces. Jack Bergman, a Republican in the 1st Congressional District. So that is the upper northern Michigan UP district, the largest district in terms of just actual physical size east of the Mississippi. And I'll tell you, Cindy, we were talking before we started taping. I took a trip into that area a few weeks ago, and that was the first time that I really hit me how far and wide and deep the Trump support was up north. I mean, obviously, the UP, rural northern Michigan, tends to go Republican, at least in the past few election cycles. But I think it really hit me there, seeing just these rolling hills, right, of northern Michigan, driving up and down and just for miles seeing Trump-Pence signs. And that then helped the Jack Bergman in the 1st Congressional District. And then, Rick, of course, we had the 7th and 8th.
Mm-hmm. Where you know, basically the incumbents won. And over in the Thumb area, Paul Mitchell finally found a congressional seat that he could win. So he will be a freshman headed to Washington. But getting, you know, back to Zoe's point and all of this about, you know, sort of two Michigans, that a lot of attention has been paid on the national level about Republicans' apparent inability to appeal to urban voters and what that means for the present and the future of the party. But that also, you know, what we've seen in this cycle is the Democrats' inability to reach rural voters. And I think, at least in Lansing, if Democrats are going to have any hopes of being a majority party in the state, that they're going to have to learn how to win more races north of Clare.
One just final thoughts, if you can, on the state house where the GOP stays in control. I know there was, you know, certainly the down ballot question did not play any role here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Rick and I, as you know, as early as a few days ago, we're talking about what if it was a 55-55 split. Michigan Republicans will continue their control of the state house. They will elect a new speaker of the house. But this will basically continue the status quo here in Michigan. As you've got the entire state Senate now and the state house Republican controlled. And of course, the executive under Governor Rick Snyder for the next 2 years.
Is it too early to
I would submit to you that even though we're seeing a continuation of partisan authority in Lansing, that I think the landscape is actually less predictable than it was the day before yesterday. And here's why. I would turn your attention to the vote in Southeast Michigan about the Regional Transit Authority, which was rejected by voters overall in the region. Now, this has been a big priority of the Metro Detroit business community and of Governor Rick Snyder. And the fact that once again, voters have come back and said no to a proposed solution on that, I think sends a message to the political class that voters are fickle right now and everyone had better pay attention to that.
Well, I think it just goes exactly back to Prop 1. I mean, there are increasing money throughout the state for roads that just disastrously, sort of spectacularly failed, which had the business community, Governor Snyder behind. This is in itself, in just kind of, you know, blank, naked analysis, a vote against the establishment. And RTA, in some ways, was part of that, the regional transportation vote.
Absolutely.
The idea that folks coming together, and this is folks saying we are tired of the establishment, you know, the Trump folks saying the drain the swamp, right? We got to get rid of those folks in D.C. A lot of talk, but this was the vote that is doing it in some respects. And a President Trump, just the sound of that, right, is the idea in its absolute, you know, bold flashing lights that this is what the majority of voters chose, at least including the Electoral College. We are, of course, still counting the popular vote right now.
Well, much to chew over and will be in the future as everything unwinds and becomes more clear. And we will be back again to our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. As always, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Cindy.
Always a pleasure.